Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Data Interchange version 3.3 for COS Lessons Learned from Support. Today's presenter is John Kirkwood. John is a senior software engineer providing technical customer support for WebSphere Data Interchange and WebSphere Partner Gateway. He has assisted hundreds of customers worldwide with installing and implementing WebSphere Data Interchange. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to John.
Thank you, Joseph. Thanks, everyone, for joining. I will be covering the WDI version 3.3 for ZOS, Lessons Learned from Support. On to slide 2, please. The agenda, I will cover software requirements. I'm not going to cover everything from the install guide, so I would still use the installation guide as your basis, but what I am going to cover are the common questions that we get for the more recent levels of software and the compatibility. Then I'll go into the installation steps specific for installing 3.3 or migrating from a previous release. The migration considerations, we'll go over those install steps, and it will also, that will be a focal point of the presentation, as that's where a lot of our problems are. And for operational changes, I'll go over some of the differences between previous releases and the current release, 3.3. And for CICS considerations, those using CICS, I will give you a couple lessons learned from that environment. And then, just in general, I will go over problems that are unrelated to the installation. These would be things that you might encounter after you're done installing the product. Move on to slide 3, please. And for software requirements, the most common question we get is about the ZOS compatibility. For the announcement letter, we do support version 1.6 or later. We do have, you know, we have done further testing, and we do support up to version 1.9 or later. But in general, we do support upward levels of ZOS on a best effort basis. You'll see that statement at the link provided. And for DD2 for ZOS, version 7 is obviously out of support by now. So we do support more recent versions of DB2 and even specifically up through DB2 version 9. And you'll see a link there where we document that claim. Something in particular for DB2 for version 9, there was a particular problem that we've seen. It is somewhat sporadic. Not every customer on version 9 has encountered this. But there is, if you end up encountering this 11.5.12 error while opening, for example, a record under data formats, you would then need to apply this DB2 PTF. It's not a WDI fix. It is specific to DB2. Slide number 4, please. Moving along with software requirements, another common question is, can we use a different level of the toolkit? No, you do need to use a specific version, 1.9. It is not upward compatible or downward compatible. And the install guide does give you references for how to obtain that. Moving on to the Windows platform, this has to do with the WebSphere Data Interchange client, and it, per the announcement letter or install guide, we do say Windows 2000 and Windows XP is supported. We have expanded that to Windows Vista, per the link provided, and also for Windows 2003. DB2 Connect version 8.2 is called out in the installation guide, and really, the key point here is you want it to be compatible with your DB2 level. The use of non-DB2 connectivity software has not been tested and is not officially supported. We really highly recommend that you do use DB2 Connect for your connectivity from WDI client to DB2 on ZOS. Slide number 5, please. Moving on, for optional software, we have, if you're using CICS, it does say in the announcement letter that we support version 2.3. We have expanded that to higher levels of CICS, version 3.2 specifically. We have tested and claimed support via that link. The software developer kit for ZOS, Java 2, the requirements haven't changed from the installation guide. Just wanted to point out here that it is really only needed for the WDI common event handling. And also if you're using XML transformation under CICS, those are the two times that you would need at developer kits. Slide number 6, please. Now I'm going to go over the installation process. Just to start with, I've given you a link to all the publications for 3.3 there, and the key thing that you want to do is basically take a copy of these tables that are provided in Chapter 1 and use it as a checklist. You know, that way you can make sure you've hit all the steps and you can make notes on it if you need to. But Table 5 is for the new customer. Table 6 is for customers migrating from previous release. Table 7 is for CICS. And just realize if you are installing for CICS, you need to complete the new or existing scenario above. Slide number 7. Now I'm going to go into the specific steps for installing 3.3. First thing you need to do is SMPE functions, which gets the data off of the media. And the key point here, this is for the system programmers. The application programmers probably wouldn't know what this is. But there are DDDEF entries that are very important to update, and you want to point it to your particular library names that you have on your system. And if you do not have the optional software, then replace the DDDEF library name with a stub library, SCDI stub, that we provide. And then it goes on to allocating distribution and target libraries, a pretty normal step, and then on to the normal SMPE receive, apply, and accept. And can't stress enough, if you need to apply cumulative maintenance just to avoid known defects, you know, especially if you've ordered the software, you know, a month ago or 2 months ago, you still may want to get the most recent maintenance by ordering cumulative maintenance. Move on to slide number 8, please. Now I'm going on for step 11. This is where the DBA would get involved. As provided, the installation assumes you're going to create a TSO ID, EDI, ENU, 3.3, with DB2 sysadm authority. You would use this ID to create all objects, and you use the command set current SQL ID to set it to this particular ID. It is very important that you do so. And then it's also important that the high-level qualifier for the tables, and again, this is as provided, needs to match, which would be EDI, ENU, 3.3. Now, you can use a different high-level qualifier for the table names, et cetera, but the SQL ID that you're using to create the objects must match that high-level qualifier. There's also a notable difference in 3.3 from previous releases, which is the coded character set ID is Unicode for 3.3. Previously, it just was your native coded character set for DB2. It does require code page conversion services of ZOS. And the DB2 installation guide does have information on customizing support for Unicode. An example error that you might occur if this is not done would be this SQL code of -332. And the resolution is to add the conversion for the particular code pages. I've also provided a helpful system command that you can use to see which conversions are available on your system. And something else worth noting, we've had cases where the EDIS DB2 member that creates all of the objects, if it does not run to completion, you may end up missing some of the insert statements that we have. And if they're not run, then you'll end up with 3.3 not being able to initialize. So just make sure EDIS DB2 runs to completion. Slide number 9. More things to consider when it comes to the DB2 perspective. If you're migrating from a previous release, the previous release must be executable during the duration of the migration. In other words, there are subsequent jobs that will have to call WDI through the normal utility programs. So the database needs to exist and be operational, you know, as well as the code for 3.2 or 3.1, whichever you're coming from. If you're installing on the same DB2 subsystem, then obviously you're going to need to use a different SQL ID with matching high-level qualifier. But again, as provided, the previous release has always used a different high-level qualifier, and so does 3.3. Now, in particular, as far as maintenance is concerned, for you to be able to do the migration, you do need to have the particular PTF for WDI UK10658. And that is in support of the last database change that we made to WDI on 3.2. Move on to slide 10, please. Still part of the DB2 installation process, there are sub-bullets 4 and 5, which we did have a lot of questions on, or do get a lot of questions on. And these are in particular to DB2 stored procedures that are provided with WDI 3.3. I did do a webcast last year regarding this, and I gave you the link to it. So if you're having trouble with that and you need to use the stored procedures, I highly recommend reviewing that. If you don't have any need for these new features, which that previous presentation will cover and go into detail about when they're needed and why they're needed, if you don't need those new features, then you can remove the stored procedure definitions from the EDIS DB2 creation job and then also remove the bind package from the bind job. Slide 11, please. Steps 12 through 15 basically are just completing the DB2 activity. These are a lot easier to run. You don't really get a lot of questions or problems with these. Step 12 specifically has to do with loading some initial data into the 3.3 database. Step 13 just runs run stats. Step 14 does the bind of the new plan. The EDI-ENU 3.3 plan is used for all batch processing. It also includes a package bind for the DB2 stored procedures. So again, if you're not using those features, you would need to remove this from the bind job. Step 15, pretty normal step again, just doing the grant or authorization on the objects. Move on to slide 12, please. Step 16 is importing default data. EDI JDAT1 runs the utility program, EDI FFUT, to do this. It's basically just using the import program. And so therefore, since it is using just the main utility, successful completion does verify that you have done all the SMPE work correctly and the product is running. It does not, of course, get into the migration, which we'll talk about later. But this, the import default data basically just provides sample data transformation, functional acknowledgement maps, some setup profiles, and again, it uses the import process to provide them. Does not migrate data from previous releases. And when you're done with this step, you are now basically in a new install state, as if you were a new customer. Move on to slide 13, please. Step 16, as far as the import default data, lessons learned. Some common problems that we've encountered with this step is that the step wide must contain the version 3, release 3, mod 0, SCDI LMD1 load library. That's how the sample JCL is provided. However, we've had cases where customers change that to the previous version, and you don't want to do that. You are importing into the new release, in other words. And if you encounter an OC1 abend, that would likely be from using the SCDI LMD2 library, which actually is for CICF, but you need to back so you use the SCDI LMD1 library. If you get an OC4 in this job, you need to remove the SCDI LMD1 from the APF or apply a PTF to fix an APF authorization problem. I provided a command there to help you with that, at least identifying if it is APF authorized. If EDI JDAT1 fails with the program failed attempting to initialize a service director, you want to see this link. It goes over all the various combinations of it. Typically, there'll just be a DB2 error that you can easily debug. But if it is not a DB2 error present, the likely cause is that the insert statements I mentioned previously were not run successfully. Slide number 14, please. Now we're going to get into the migrating prior release data. And these are the major steps where you're actually going to start building things to prepare for the migration. That would be your EDI standards, data formats, maps, control strings, XML schemas, profiles, code lists, and translation tables. Pretty much all of your configuration that you have. Basically, it includes all of the configuration, but it does not include what we call operational data, which would be like the transaction store, and management reporting, which we'll cover in a little bit here. Step 17 is the first step of the migration, and it's going to build a control file that will be used to export the data from the prior release. So it's just basically a list of all of your objects that we found on your 3.2 or 3.3 system. PDIJ XPad is for 3.2 and 3.1 if you're using DB2. PDIJ XPAV is for 3.1 if you're using VSAM. And step 18 is the step that really does the majority of the work. It's the job that's going to export from your previous release and then import into 3.3. PDIJ EXPD is for 3.2 or 3.1 customers using DB2. PDIJ EXVD is for 3.1 using VSAM. Slide 15, please. Some details on step 17, which is the building of the control file. Some common problems that we encounter is the job live concatenation. It is important to note the sample and libraries that are listed there. It's very, very intentional how we listed them. So where I've shown the little X, you want to make sure is replaced by your previous release indicator. If EDIJ XPad encounters an ABAND OC1, a likely cause would be from using the wrong SCDI LMD1 library. That would be the version 3.3 version of it. You want to use your 3.2 version of the library in this job because you're actually going out to the 3.2 system and we're building a list of all the objects therein. If EDIJ XPad fails with a program failed attempting to initialize service director, if DB2 errors are not present, then the likely cause would be from the PARM data. It does need to be specifically how it is in the sample JCL. Don't add a comma. Just leave it how it is. And DIENU is the system ID, which you might have changed for your previous release. So you'd probably be using that coming up as well. Now, there is a known problem, PTF UK 47190, that is a 3.2 defect where the control file may be incomplete for translation tables and code lists. And this could lead to missing tables on 3.3. So you may want to apply that PTF before going ahead with the migration. Move on to slide 16, please. Okay, moving on to step 18, which is EDIJ EXPD. This is a job, again, that does the export from the previous release. That's what step 3 does. And the step live concatenation, again, pay close attention to it. We didn't mistake our sample JCL. You do need to make note of the release indicator, which I show with the little X. And then in step 4 through 8, this is where you're going to be doing the import into 3.3. So in this case, realize the step live must contain your version 3.3 SCDI LMD1 library, not your previous release. Moving on to slide 17. Now we'll get into some lessons learned. Step 3, the export from 3.2. If you have a case where it goes into a loop and it appears to be on a data format that it's exporting, then you need to apply UK 39721 to 3.2 and edit the step live in step 003 to comment out the SCDI V3R2 library. Similarly, if step 3 fails, if you have comments, and these comments, by the way, they're not the comments that you might have within the maps, the individual element mappings, but the general comment that is on the map, that's important to you, then you would need to apply UK27714 to 3.2 and edit the step live in step 003 to comment out the SCDI V3R2 library. Now we're moving on to the import phase of this job, and that would be step 4. This is import for standards. If you get the EI0025 error, then you can apply the PTF UK24746 to 3.3. If you get a particular error in step 5, which is for data formats, the importing of data formats, it encounters the specific errors I've given you there, and you want to export the specific data format from 3.2 via 3.2.1 client, and re-import it back into the same system. This is a rare problem. I don't expect that many to have it. We did have one case of it, and we really never could get to the bottom of it, but it does seem to be just an anomaly of how a certain ADF existed in the 3.2 database. Moving on to slide 18. So we have step 005. This is for data format, just to point out that if you may have a case where not all of your record ID information objects were migrated to 3.3, this would be because they were not currently in use. In other words, somebody went out and created a record ID info object and never referred to it in a data format dictionary. Since it's not in, you know, it implies they're not currently in use anyway, so this really isn't a problem necessarily. It's just something that you might notice where the count doesn't match between 3.2 and 3.3. It is a limitation of export. We don't have a fix for that, and you cannot export record ID info objects individually. It has to come along with the dictionary, in other words. Step 006, if you have control strings that are not tied to an existing map, they may not be migrated. If you have them, if these control strings are not tied to a specific map name, in other words, the previous release migrations getting you all the way up to 3.2, for example, were able to use DB2 unload and load utilities to move control strings over. The 3.3 installation does not accommodate that. So in other words, you might have been carrying forward old control strings that are not even attached to maps that you currently have. And I gave you a little SQL query if you want to see if there are any control strings that don't exist in 3.3 after the migration compared to 3.2. That should give you a list. If you run this from Spoofy, for example, it will give you a list of all of the objects that don't match. So that list would show you, well, this control string I had on 3.2, I no longer have on 3.3. Do I really need it? And chances are you really don't need it because you don't have a map for it. So. And if step 6, import hangs, for example, you know, again, hang meaning it's probably in a loop, then you may need to apply UK33664 for that particular problem. And that's applied to your 3.3 system. Moving on to slide 19. More lessons learned. Just a kind of a general statement here, how to recover from general export-import errors. If you encounter a problem in the export phase, step 003, if you want to continue on anyway so somebody can check out, that, you know, the user perhaps can go and check out whether that's an important object or not, you can remove the failing object name from the control file and then rerun the job. That way you would be able to continue with the migration and then look at the one object that might have failed. If it's failing in step 4 through 8, and again, that's part of the import processing of all the various objects, you can do the same as above, or to avoid having to re-import everything over again, you could remove the object from the actual EI file. And that takes a little more skill. You would probably need to be somewhat comfortable with export files to do that, but it is something that you might do or by the direction of support. Slide number 20. Moving on to verifying the installation. Basically, I've already said EDIJ.1 and step 16 verified your basic bash processing by just the simple fact that it was using import to import some default data. Another thing you want to do is obviously install Web Server Data Interchange Client 3.3 and then set up the client access to the ZOS database, and that you would use DB2 Connect for. And for more information on doing this, see Chapter 2 of the Data Interchange User's Guide. And just as a general thing, just go through your WDI client once connected and just view or open each object type. Now, if a new customer, default load data does contain samples, you would have something to work with. If it's an existing customer, you want to check all the object types that have been migrated. Slide number 21. Continuing with operational changes, this is for prior release customers. Just be aware that the TSOC list no longer exists on 3.3. I forgot to mention the CICS EDIA, which is the equivalent for CICS users. These functions are now performed using WDI Client 3.3. You will find also event logging on the View menu. And Transaction Store has been replaced by the new Document Store on 3.3. It supports similar features as you are used to on 3.2. It does have new capabilities to capture information and images for DT maps in all three formats, EDI, XML, and ADF. And the administrator's menu functions for translating, enveloping, networking are enabled in client 3.3 via the DB2 stored procedures I talked about earlier. Just as general, you want to familiarize yourself with WDI client 3.3. Just to get used to it, some of the buttons have changed. You know, so you want to get used to how to access all the various objects, et cetera. Slide number 22, please. Moving on still with operational changes, DT functional acknowledgement and service segment validation maps. Now, these are samples that we provide. Just realize that we've had to provide the samples now. Instead of a dollar sign, we had to use ampersand. That was for the Unicode requirement. And just from a general standpoint, other things you're going to need to worry about are JCL changes, of course. And when you try to run the new release, you want to make sure the load library name is changed from your previous release to version 3, release 3, mod 0. DB2 plan name is obviously changed. You need to point to the new XML toolkit version. And if you're a 3.1 customer, you need to make note of the API control block changes if you're using the API. vSAM customers should use the sample EDI util D in our sample library to recreate the JCL. In other words, if you're coming from vSAM 3.1 system, you're not going to be able to take your existing JCL that you were using for 3.1 and just modify it. You're going to need to start over and use the new sample. Slide number 23. Migrating operational data. I said earlier that the migrating previously discussed was just for your configuration data, your maps, data formats, et cetera. Operational data is for your transaction store, management reporting, and SAP status data. There's no support for migrating from 3.1. You do need to be at a specific PTF, UQ80131, on 3.2 to be able to do this. And Appendix B of the install guide does go through the steps required, you know, for migrating your operational data. It really just has steps for binding, granting, then unloading the data, and then binding, granting, and loading the data into 3.3. It is designed to be rerun. However, it will replace all existing records in 3.3 when it's rerun. We cannot support, in other words, having an existing data in your 3.3 system and then running this utility to put it on top of it. We can only support officially with the database being empty prior to the migration. You can have data in there, but we're going to replace it all, in other words. Move on to 24, please. As lessons learned on the migrating of operational data, there is a particular problem that you might run into if you don't have any particular data in a particular table, TSEV. You would see this SQL error code of 100. And you can either apply a CTF to fix this. It really just takes away the error code of it. The SQL code 100 is a normal condition and can be ignored since it's just a not found, meaning it was empty. Moving on to slide 25. Calling WDI for CICS specifics. Just to run through, the installation guide does have enabling language environment. Just be sure to run this. It does require this LE to be operational in CICS. The same goes for enabling C++ in CICS. I've given you a reference to some documentation. It's important that you run these steps. And there's also a very particular need for the CSD and the DFHRPL for IOStream. And that's a particular module, and you will find more information on that, the documentation provided. Slide 26, please. Just some more on CICS in particular for XML translations and or error notification. The Java SDK 1.4 service level 6 is required or later. And for XML, you do not need to install any other toolkits. We do use the embedded XML4j parser within the SDK. And the following in steps 23 to 37 for the CICS customer, it just does your basic steps to add all of the programs, add all of the your elements, your object types to CICS. And if you're migrating from a prior release, don't use 3.2 for your existing definitions. You need to recustomize the samples to add all of the objects. Then step 34 goes into enabling XML support under CICS And lastly, step 35, enables error notification support. Let's move on to slide 27. Calling WDI for CICS lessons learned. There have been two particular problems that I think you would need to be aware of. The first one being a case where if you're running DDI FFUT from the background, WDI is incorrectly interpreting the start code, and it really just ends up getting control and then returning control right back without doing anything. You do need to apply the PTF listed there, UK35893 to 3.3. And then there's another problem. This is more recently noted, but if after applying maintenance in your 3.3 for CICS, you may run into an error on the perform translate envelope. That's a TR0840. You would need to apply PTF UK50043 to 3.3. It is a recent problem, and this PTF target date actually is this week. So anyway, if you run off now and try to get the PTF, it's not closed yet, but I do expect it to close by the beginning of next week. Step number 28, please. Now I'm going to go into the problems that aren't related to installation. These are just some general defects or problems that we've seen at the support center that I just want to point out. SQL code 991, if you're running the program equal EDIFFUT versus running it from the call attach facility, that's IKJEFT01. If you are running on the exec statement program equal EDIFFUT, you might see this error message that's documented with that SQL code 991. And you can see the possible reason codes I've given there. In that case, you want to apply the PTF UK38001 to 3.3 or add DAF parentheses 1 to your EDITS in DD. Another problem we've encountered was segmented Y keyword on perform print is not segmenting the EDI image. We do have a PTF available for that, UK50206. There's also a new command on 3.3 for remote command submission, which you would do from the client, and there's a cleanup process, perform remove submission, that you'll end up getting an error on because the documentation is incorrect. In other words, the word submission on the perform statement should be changed to perform remove submissions, in other words, plural. There's also a sporadic OC4 that you might see in EDI ELAS when WDI is writing event log entries. It hasn't been a real pervasive problem, but it has come up a couple of cases. In that case, you would need to apply PTF UK44726, 3.3. Slide number 29. Regarding the new document store, we did encounter various reconstruct issues. I know that's one of the more popular features of the C-list that you may be comfortable with in 3.2. This is something that you now would need to do through the client, so I wanted to point out some of the problems that you might hit here. And if you're doing reconstruct and you have an individual interchange in the document store from a specific trading partner, if you end up clicking on that trading partner, right-clicking it, I mean, and selecting reconstruct, it will include the other interchanges for that same trading partner. Your resolution is to apply the PTF. When the QData data reference is a new catalog. The client is incorrectly storing a value of keep, and it can cause a problem if SMS is not enabled on your ZOS. In this case, it is a WDI client fix pack that fixes that, fix pack 4 or above. And as part of the process for reconstruct, et cetera, we have a dynamic file creation, and if you encounter a particular, just get a warning message during this, you will need to apply UK46257 on 3.3. There's also, lastly here, I have dynamic file creation may result in errors. Just gave you the specific errors. If you see these, the problem is due to having duplicate data set names that the dynamic file creation is creating. In other words, you just have a ton of files out there that are just old, and you just need to clean them up. Moving on to slide 30. Okay, another problem that I know a lot of customers use import of map usages to populate their databases. Again, this is just map usages only. It's not part of the migration. But if you do encounter this error, the EI0058, you'll need to apply the PTF, UK36367. And if you're running any one of the various jobs, these could be your migration jobs, your translation jobs, whichever, if you end up seeing this IEW 4009i fetch failed for a DB2 module, DSN HDECP, that is because you need to have SDSN exit in your job live or step live. That's a DB2 load by, by the way. And we have changed all the sample JCL to include that. But, of course, you can just add it on your own if you need to. And then another problem that we've encountered is this happens to do specifically with the client. And as you're opening an XML schema, you get a fatal error occurred during parsing of XML input file. This problem was found to be due to some hex characters within the schema. And the resolution is to apply WDI client, fixed pack 7 or above. And just in general, I gave you the WDI support page. And I also wanted to point out, you know, I see there's a good attendance for this session, and I have a feeling it's because of the end of support date for 3.2 coming up around the corner in April of 2010. And if you want to see the announcement letter for that or whatever, you can go to our support page, and then at the bottom you'll see product lifecycle information, and that will give you the specifics. Slide number 31. This slide just includes some links to some sites that just provide online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers some in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. WebSphere.org for user group information. IBM Education Assistant provides some self-help modules for various products. And the SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest. And I can't emphasize more, signing up for that, you'll get notified when fix packs are available. You'll get notified of all of our tech notes that we write as we encounter problems. We try to publish as many as we can, which just go to our support site and search on that as well. But again, you can sign up for My Notifications to get them as they're added. Okay, over to you, Joseph.
At this point, Laurie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Question is from Ken O'Hara.
Yes, my question was, this is our first time doing an upgrade, and we wanted to get the client, the 3.3 client. So what is the process in order to get, you know, the base client? We see the fix packs are out there, but in generally, how do you get the upgrade information?
Well, hi, Ken. That's John.
Hi, John.
Basically, the WDI client, the base software, it comes with the delivery of the 3.3 code. So if you ordered it, like, from ShopZ, then it would come as one of the files that you downloaded or, you know, FTP'd. As part of that, if you really are totally unable to find the WDI client software, you'll need to contact your local IBM rep. We need to be a little careful there. You don't want to end up just reordering WDI 3.3 over again. You know, you need to have somebody intervene then if you can't find it.
Okay. Well, our DBA ordering it, so we just wanted to understand that a little bit better.
But it should be part of just the base product. You know, in other words, if you order it, I say ShopZ because I know that's an electronic mechanism, so it often gets missed, but it should be a file, you know, that comes with it. But if you ordered it as a separate product, just flat out, I've just ordered this product number or upgrade to this product number, you should get a box, right, with the tape media, and there should be a CD included that has the WDI client.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
And our next question comes from Manny Sethurman.
The question is about the WDI 3.3 cutover migration in a production environment. In a production environment, can we parallelly run 3.2 as well as 3.3 so that the customers will be EDI or the WDI customers will be updating the operational data? Is it okay to do that?
Yes, it's okay to do that. The problem becomes, though, if you're running 3.2 at the same time as 3.3, and adding data to your transaction store, or operational data, we'll call it, you know, you're going to have two different databases, you know, of that information. And once you start populating your 3.3 data with production data, you will not be able to migrate your 3.2 data back over to 3.3 on top of that.
Okay.
So you, in other words, you would end up erasing the, what you already had in 3.3 just to move over your 3.2 data.
Mm-hmm. The idea came from actually from our WDA admin Ken and their team, which seems to be, you know, a great idea, but I just want to make sure that down the line, if the customers keep updating the WDI 3.2 as well as 3.3 parallelly, which I mean that it's the production data keep updating, and the plan is to point the batch processing window on multiple phases. So we are going to have parallel data, and if there is no any specific cutover, you know, time or day, that we can say that this is the day in production date that we are going to switch over from 3.2 to 3.3 completely without the multiple phases.
Yeah, and again, you know, like I said, the problem will be that you won't, that the 3.2 data will need to stay in 3.2, and your 3.3 data will need to stay in 3.3, because the migration utility to move operational data does not allow you to put it into an existing 3.3 database, you know, that's already loaded. And I just might want to point out, just for everybody else's sake, too, you know, that there's another caveat to running 3.2 and 3.3 in parallel, and that would be your control numbers, you know, trading partner control numbers for the EDI data. You know, you would need to then run 3.2, you know, trading partner A should only run on 3.2, and then when you cut over trading partner A, it can then only run on 3.3. And the reason being is you would end up getting overlapping control numbers because they are stored in different databases. So that actually, to me, is a more difficult challenge, right, than the actual operational data.
Okay. So what I understand from you saying is we need to have a cutover window to say that all the operational data, as well as the customers, to inform that we would be, you know, completely migrating from 3.2 to 3.3, and that's the cutover window. Am I right?
Yes, that's right. Okay. If you need to, in other words, if the data that you had on 3.2, you know, that you've been accumulating at the same time as 3.3, if you need to cut that over to 3.3, you won't be able to.
Okay. So in that case, what would be our, failover or a fallback option for whatever reason if the migration is having issues?
You mean to go back to the 3.2 system?
See, for whatever reason, if 3.3 as a production issue that needs to be resolved on a very timely fashion, what are the options available for us? The option one we have is work through the issue in 3.3. The option two is what?
There isn't.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's you can't take the data from 3.3 and move it back to 3.2, in other words.
Okay. All right. Just want to confirm. Thank you very much.
You know, in other words, you'd have some form of backup of your 3.2 system, right? Or it really just would not be doing anything, right?
Yep.
You know, you could, I guess theoretically, you could run the data parallelly through 3.2, just don't, you know, feed the data deep, you know, to the back end application.
Okay.
You know, that way they would kind of stay in sync, right? It's just a thought.
Yep. You mean, shutting down the 3.2 completely?
No, in other words, when you're running 3.3 in production and it's adding all this data as you're running in production, adding the operational data, updating control numbers, you could theoretically run all that same data through your 3.2 system just in case you need to fall back.
Okay.
Then it would also be updated then concurrently.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Manny.
Thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions.
Thank you, Laurie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.